Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Today I want to share a message, and the title of my message is The Weapon of Joy. The Weapon of Joy. And how many of you know sometimes things don't always happen the way we think they're going to happen? As you go through life, you realize that things don't always go the way that we always plan for them to go. You know, I know even for myself, as I was meditating and preparing, God began to really encourage me and speak to me through the message. And many times those are the best messages because they come out through my life. We had a busy time in Brazil, phenomenal time of ministry, miracles and things. We're putting together a documentary, so we're going to give you the highlights of that. It was an amazing time. Came back and had Mother's Day, and then I was looking forward to just having a short break. Susan was in Amsterdam for business and ministry, and so I said, well, let's take the kids camping, let's go and, you know, just get a few days away and go up to Lake Arrowhead, and was looking forward to having a break, and then my daughter fell sick, and so Erica was down with fever and, you know, one of the worst I've seen her sick, very weak, and I had a bacterial infection, and so that kind of got things done, but there was still a glimmer of hope. You know, we can probably get to go, and then, you know, after that, you know, Aaron wasn't feeling well, and then also Samuel, you know, our medium, my spiritual son, he basically tore the cartilage in his knee. And couldn't walk, and so Susan's away. We're going through all of this, and went and had to go and see the orthopedic doctor. End up having surgery, and so he's in the green room right now, watching and online. So things don't always happen the way we're wanting them to happen. That was not how I planned to have my birthday build up week. And so we end up the cancel thing. We end up with things, but in the midst of those things, really, we have to ask ourselves, what is most important? We have to really ask ourselves, are we going to be limited by our situations, by our circumstances, of what things are coming? I have every time to feel sorry for myself. It's my 50th birthday. I mean, come on. It's something historical. We're crossing over. My wife abandoned me. You know? She missed her flight on the way back, too, and was late, you know, and got stuck at Heathrow and all this stuff. And we can start allowing ourselves and the thoughts to begin to hit our mind. The things begin to happen. You know, we feel that we're deserving. Why is that? God, I've been serving you so hard. I was, you know, been going for months and preached 18 times in 10 days. Can we be real? And all of that stuff has to happen. But the God began to, you know, begin to encourage me. Am I going to allow circumstances? Am I going to allow situations to determine my state of being? Or am I going to live what I preach? And so we need to understand, we need to get into joy at all times. Because joy is a weapon. God wants all of his children to have joy. And you might have things you're facing, circumstances. You might have things that are out of your timetable. Come on. Still single and available. Maybe you're in a relationship and the relationship's not going the way you want it to go. Maybe in your career, things are not working. You're at a place and you look and you're like, I'm not where I wanted to be at 25 or at 40 or at 50. Things aren't happening the way that we want them to happen. But we need to ask ourselves, are we living out of the supernatural life of God, or are we putting our focus on the wrong thing? What really is joy? I looked it up in the dictionary. This is what joy is. I put it up for you. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. It's a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. So joy is not happiness. Sometimes we pray, well, God wants us to be happy. We determine our level of joy by, are we happy or not? Happiness and joy are different. It says here, it's a settled state of contentment, of confidence, and of hope. So you're in a constant state of confidence, a constant state of hope, of contentment, regardless of what's happening. Are we in joy? Joy, I put this up for you. Joy is a supernatural emotion that remains in the life of a believer in spite of your circumstances. Yeah. In spite of who's president, in spite of what's going on or how much gas costs. Come on, say amen or oh me. In spite of, we still count it joy. And we can go and, you know, you go to the gas pump and gas it. I was like, oh man, I saw that pictures of President Biden on the gas pumps. And, you know, people are like, you saw, you know, all these memes are going on. And find it joyful. Laugh in the midst of circumstance. When you go there, I just say, God, thank you. You're blessing the Arabs right now. Come on. Come on. They might not be out of the lineage of Israel, but they're from Ishmael. They still got a blessing. Come on. They control the oil. They're a blessed people. Well, somebody's getting blessed. Even if I'm suffering, are you here? Are we going to count it joy in the situations that we're in? Are we going to count it joy that, thank God, at least there's still gas? At least I got a car to drive. Susan was in Holland recently, and, you know, there you don't really see the inflation and stuff hitting so much because they're all riding bicycles. Some of you have been wanting to lose some weight. Well, get a bicycle. Come on. Not an electric one. Stop complaining. I don't know about you, but I'm still going to put gas in my car. Thank God for air conditioning. Thank God for the blessing we have. Come on, we can have blessing in whatever we're state in spite of the circumstances. In spite of what happened, thank God that we've got insurance that helps us with the costs when stuff happens. Some Christians, well, I don't believe in insurance. That's not having faith. That's stupidity. Come on. It's not. It's expensive to do stuff. Don't be one of those people. Thank God, even though it doesn't work and there's difficulties and we spend, but in spite of, even in the midst of the fact, my kid's sick, but I got to spend time with him. Sometimes a staycation is better than a vacation. You got more, you're out running around crazy, trying to see everything, wearing yourself out and wasting money. Come home exhausted. Are you here? In spite of it, we still have joy. Jesus said this in John 15, verse 11. He said, these things I've spoken to you that my joy, capital M, his joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Some of us, our joy has a leak in it. And we're allowing stuff to steal our joy. We had a slab leak in my house and, you know, a few years back and we had to go and renovate and it caused damage. And I was thinking from the damage it caused, it must have been like a flood, like a broken pipe. It was a pinhole. And it just because even you have a pinhole leak, that water will come out because of pressure. Some of us got maybe not a huge thing, something's broken. We've allowed stuff come in to put cracks and pinholes into our joy, and it's stealing the life of God. And our joy is not full. He says your joy would be full because when you've got a full joy, what happened? It overflows out of you. Are you here? And when you've got joy, happiness is a choice. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be happy. Amen. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Why? Because his joy is in my life and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a shout this morning. Amen. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says this. Nehemiah said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're going to break this down a little bit more. But what does it say? In the midst of those that don't have anything, give them something. In the midst of sorrow, be joyful. That's a contradiction. When we're sorrowful, what do? Oh, God, why? Why is everybody always picking on me? Why is this person this? Why is this? Oh, I've served you and I tithe. And are you here? Can we be real? And that tries to come in, but what does it say? We make a decision to draw upon the life, the joy that he says is in our lives, and to live our lives differently. Luke 10, verse 20 says, nevertheless, what does that mean? In the midst of, despite of the circumstances. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But he said, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, what was he saying? Thank God we have power. Thank God we've got authority. Thank God the demons listened as we speak in the name of Jesus. But what does Jesus say? Don't rejoice in the outward. Come on, sometimes the devil's hard of hearing. So we don't rejoice whether we get the breakthrough quickly or it takes a while or there's a struggle. Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice what? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What does he say? Rejoice that you're saved. Rejoice that the curse has been broken over your life. Rejoice in the fact not of what's happening or whether you got your healing immediately or you got a miracle or if you've got your financial breakthrough or if the vision's tarrying and it's not come to pass yet. Don't look at the outward. Look at the inward. Come on, you can rejoice because you're saved. You can rejoice because you're a child of God. You can rejoice because your name's written in the book of life. You can rejoice because this is not your home. Come on, you're going to live in eternity. You make a decision, but we find that hard. Why? Because our focus is on the wrong thing. And this morning, I want to help you to get your focus on the right thing so you can get your joy back. So that you're not having a leak in your joy. So you're not having a little bit of joy, but your joy would be full. The great preacher Billy Sunday said this. He said, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. If you're not having joy that's overflowing, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. I don't know about you, but I have a life that's filled with pressure. I've got business, I've got kids, I've got spiritual kids, I've got wife, I've got renovation going on. I got all this stuff's happening. People and other ministers that are calling me, there's a lot of pressure. But when I get up in the morning, I have passion. When I get in the morning, I'm motivated because it's not about how many giants I've slayed. It's not about my bank balance. It's not about the size of our church. It's not about the outward. It's about the inward. Amen. That we're living according to the life of God that's inside of us. Another person said this, joy is the kind of happiness that doesn't depend on what happens. Amen. Joy is the kind of happiness that doesn't depend on what happens. Happiness comes from the word happenings. If you just have happiness based on happenings, that's not joy. The world does that. Of course you get happy when somebody gives you a nice iPad. Thank you very much. But sometimes you might not have gotten that. Sometimes you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. Sometimes you didn't get the promotion. Someone else got the promotion. Sometimes things don't work. Is our happiness dependent on happenings? That's not joy. Someone else said this, joy is not the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. Amen. That even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of pressure, because the presence of God is there, we can have joy. That even in the midst of the lion's den, Daniel could have joy. We don't know the story, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he just used the lion as a pillow. It kept him warm that night. We don't know. He closed the mouths of lions. The things that were out to destroy him, God turns it around. As he went to the fiery furnace, and even the men that were getting ready to throw him in the furnace, they got burnt in sins. The fire was so hot. And he says this, whether God delivers me or not, I'm going to keep my joy. I'm not going to deny him. And we know that God delivered him. But it wasn't dependent on what happened or didn't happen. It was dependent on his state of being. A wise person said this, wherever joy doesn't happen, it has to be chosen. Wherever joy doesn't happen, it has to be chosen. Come on, people suffer sometimes and they have these mood swings. Super happy and super depressed. Up and down because they're not living life out of the spirit. They have mixture. They have a leak in their spirituality because there's mixture. But we've got to plug the leaks in our life. Where does joy come from? Three areas joy comes from. Number one, joy has to come from your salvation. If your joy comes from anything else, you're gonna have a problem. Joy comes from our salvation. It's not an emotion. It's a spiritual weapon. That regardless of what's happening, we got joy. Regardless of our financial system, we got joy. Regardless in the midst of COVID, we can still have joy. Are you here? People, oh, COVID was a terrible time. And I understand when people lost loved ones. And I'm not trying to take away the detriment of that. But COVID was also a good time for families. Last night, we were talking about playing cards and with my kids. And I'm like, we haven't played cards in a long time. But we played a lot of cards during COVID. We played a lot of Monopoly. We played a lot of Risk. We had a lot of family building time that we didn't have. We make the most about it. We can still be thankful we got a roof and maybe we can't meet our friends and we can't go eat popcorn and go to a movie and do the things that we used to do. But we still are blessed and we have a family. We're still blessed and life might become a little bit simpler. But I look back, it's not a terrible time. It was a time of joy. not negating the negative signs. But it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter whether gas becomes $7 a gallon when it's $6. Inflation's happening. Be thankful for what we have. We go through different seasons in life. People have been singing, "It's the end of the world as we know it," for a long time. But we keep going. We keep occupying. We keep moving. God is still there with us. God never will leave us. He'll never forsake us. In the midst of things, we're more than conquerors because of Christ Jesus. But we got to draw on the strength of God. It comes from your salvation. The joy of the Lord, this verse is so misquoted in the Bible. We look and we see as we go to the book of Nehemiah where this verse was spoken, we see it wasn't a happy time. The Israelites were returning from Jerusalem. They were in exile. And Nehemiah and Ezra, they bring them back. And when they get to the city, because of their sin, because of their disobedience, the city that had such great glory, it was in destruction. And as they began to read the law and again began to come back to the word of God, they were under condemnation. They were looking back with regret, with sorrow because of the actions and the wages of sin that had brought forth death in their life. And in the midst of that moment, as they're overwhelmed, as they're weeping, instead of the prophet coming and condemning them, Nehemiah says, "Don't mourn, don't weep. Go enjoy the good food, enjoy the sweet drinks that you have. And what God has given to you, send some to those and even give to those that have nothing, because this day is holy unto the Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." What is he saying? Joy is a weapon against condemnation. Joy is a weapon against depression. Joy is a weapon against anxiety. Joy is a weapon against hopelessness. In the midst of this, come on, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of weeping, in the midst of things not going the way we want them to go, in the midst of regrets, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, tell somebody this morning, say, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy is a weapon. Despite their failures with God, he loved them anyway. He didn't condemn them. But he was there to encourage them. Amen? Joy didn't come because of what they had done. It came because of Christ. It came because of God. Joy didn't come because of their record of doing right. It came because of their repentance. Sin and sorrow and sickness may be present, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. It doesn't matter what's happening around us. What can men do to us? The worst men can do is take our life, but they can't take our life because we're eternal. Amen. We can stop breathing in this life, but what happens? We cross over to the next. Amen. Where there's no sorrow, where there's no sickness. Come on, where our body is not decaying, Amen. But we have a glorified body. Amen. Joy comes from knowing our salvation. Number two, joy comes from knowing our significance. When we talk about significance, it speaks of purpose. What is our purpose? Are we in our purpose? If we're in our purpose, joy comes from being in our purpose. People get up in the morning and they hate what they do. "I hate my job. I don't know why I studied this. And I hate what I do." You're not in purpose. Get into purpose. I'd rather make less money and be in purpose than make money and be miserable. Come on, some of you need to hear that. Why? Because we had to put our focus on the wrong thing. Joy doesn't come from how much you have in your bank account. Money doesn't make you happy. It can help. Come on. It helps you. It magnifies your heart. But you could have all the money. There's some people that have the money of the world. Millions of dollars are miserable. Can't sleep at night and can barely get out of bed. And are mean. And treat people terribly because they're unhappy. You see it all the time. Go to a restaurant and someone with money thinks they're you know, they treat people like slaves because they're paying the paycheck. No, don't be that kind of person. We need to be a person that we know that we have significance because of our purpose in God. Someone said this, and I put up for you, "Show me a person without a purpose, and I'll show you a person without joy." Joy comes from being in our purpose. When we accept Christ, what does he say? All things have become new. You're a new creature in Christ. What is he saying? You now have a purpose. Living is not just about you. It's not just about keeping up with the Joneses. It's now about living for the approval of one. And his name is Jesus. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, but you are a chosen people. Someone say, that's me. We are royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We're God's special possession. Tell somebody on your left or right, say, you're special. Come on. Some of you are sitting there looking at me. Tell somebody in front and back of you, say, you're special too. Come on. We need to hear that sometimes because we don't feel special. We're significant. We're the only creation made in the image of God. God don't look like a dog. He doesn't look like a cat. Come on. We're made in the image of God. We're the only one that God formed with his own hands and breathed life into. Are you here? Some people treat their dogs better and their cats better than they treat people. I'm not even going to go there. We live in California. I might get in trouble. We need to treat people as God's possession. People are royal priesthood. They're valued in God. It says that what? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. That's the purpose. All that the world has to offer is empty. It will be fun for a moment, but it leaves you empty. It leaves you wanting more. But God is the one who satisfies. Your purpose is what? Sharing the story of redemption. Sharing the story of the goodness of God. That's why you need to bring somebody next week. Come on, tell somebody. Bring somebody next week. There's people with no purpose out there. Life is not a beach. Come on, life is being in the presence of God, being in the purpose of God, living with significance in our life. But many people, they become like Paul's sidekick, Demas. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, it says, Demas, because he loved this world, he deserted me for Thessalonica. Demas had the opportunity, was in purpose, but what? His love for the world, his love for the flesh, for the pleasure, took him out of the purpose of God. He deserted his destiny to chase after the world. And Pastor Troy, we've talked and we know people. And there's people we know that have great callings, more anointed, more eloquent, not serving God because they went for the world rather than for the purpose of God. And it leaves us empty. I met people and, you know, they used to be in church. And, you know, there's people that sometimes they're here for a season and, you know, they move to L.A. and they're in a church there and we're still friends. And, you know, they come around and we love them. And, you know, there's people that moved out of state and they're in churches there. They're thriving. But there's people who left purpose, left destiny, and you run into them. And when you meet them, you're like, oh, my God, the years aren't being very good to you. Yeah, I haven't seen them in 5 years and they look 20 years older. They look haggard. They lost their joy. They lost their spark. They lost purpose. It's like they're stuck. How are things going? Well, I'm still working on this. Well, you were working on that 15 years ago. How's that going? Well, still believing it's going to happen. And they talk like the typical California, like everything's great and you know it's not. Why? Because they're led purpose. Not in church, not walking with God, not in the call of God. Just trying to hustle like an orphan, trying to find their next piece of bread. That's not how we're called to live. Are you here? The moment we stop wandering, we stop walking in purpose, what happens? Joy returns because joy comes from Jesus. Joy comes from significance. It doesn't matter what's happening. You see people and they sacrifice. They struggle. There's business people that have, in the midst of the pursuit of purpose, gone bankrupt, pursuing purpose. And what do? They learned how not to do something. But they keep going because there's purpose, there's significance in them. And what happens? Success comes. I think it was Bill Gates who said this, I never hire anyone in a high position that's never failed. Because we have to learn how to deal with failure. Thank God Thomas Edison didn't stop up on the light bulb at the 100th time. I think it was like 500 times before he got it right. But he kept going because there was a purpose, there was a passion. It doesn't matter what comes against us. We keep moving toward insignificance. Joy comes through our salvation. It comes through significance. Number three, joy comes from security. It comes from security. If Jesus isn't our security, nothing else will make us secure. Jesus doesn't secure us from the storms. He secures us in the midst of the storms. In the midst of, as we go through this life, we all experience things. Do we all experience recession? Yes. Do we all experience inflation? Yes. There's not a Jesus discount at the gas pump. Come on.
Yes, sir.
When it rains, do we all get wet? Yes. But what's the difference? When you're with Jesus, he's security, you got an umbrella. You might get a little wet, but come on, your hair is still not messed up. You're still in place. You're still walking through the storm, and you're going to the other side. People get shipwrecked in their life because of the storms. But with Jesus, we just keep our sail in the wind of the Holy Spirit. And if he said to keep moving, we just keep walking, keep moving. And what happens? The clouds will disappear, and we will come out on the other side. John 10, verse 28, Jesus said, I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Come on, we're with Jesus, we're secure. No one can snatch us out of his hand. What can the devil do to us? Nothing, the Bible says, Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The sword, pestilence, all the things that he went through, nothing can separate us. In the midst of these things, come on, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Come on, because he's our security. The Christian cannot be unjustified, because Christ cannot be uncrucified. Come on, because he died, because he broke the curse over our life, justification is ours through faith. And we stand secure in that. Joy returns when we're free from the worries of life. Joy returns what? When we're free from the fear of death or the fear of man. The fear of man is a snare. We get into a set, we're out there spending thousands of dollars on ugly stuff. Just because it's got somebody's name on it. I mean, some of the stuff you look at, I'm like, that didn't even look good. It's ugly. Like, who is designing this stuff? Like, come on. I'm not saying everything. But come on, we don't even like it, but it's got that brand on it. We want to look good. We want to get the security of someone else. Come on, you get in a car, you can barely even get out of the seat. Because you want to look cool, because that's what's considered cool. Don't be living your life like that. Nothing against it. If you like something, have it. I don't care whose brand is on it. Are you here? But people in bondage to that will put themselves in debt to have that, because they feel, look at me, secure, you know. You can tell them, oh, look at my watch, you know. It's like, come on, your security is not in your watch. Your security is not in the car you drive. The security is not in the square footage of your house. Your security is in Jesus. We've got to put our security in the right thing. Are you here? Our security comes from a relationship with Jesus. Four things that rob us from our joy. Why is it that Christians even, they get leaks in their joy? Because we allow circumstances to rob us. Don't allow circumstances to rob you of your joy. Philippians 1 verse 12, Paul says this, but I want you to know, Paul says this, he's writing to the church, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's writing from jail. And he says, I want you to know, guys, me being in jail, it's actually helping the gospel. He knew his purpose. He knew his security. He knew his salvation. And circumstances did not bother him. Some of us go, we get a flat tire and we don't want to come to church for 3 weeks. Somebody else got the promotion and we're angry with God for 6 months. Come on. Because we're focused on the circumstances and we see the blessing of God as what's happening in our circumstances. Don't be moved by the circumstances. Paul's saying circumstances, the troubles, the trials, they weren't to hurt him, but they were to further the gospel. And furthering the gospel is to further God's purpose in our life, but it's also to transform us into the stature, the nature of Jesus. How many of you know when you go through difficult times and you come out on the other side, you get stronger? Yeah. I love that song, Nothing Makes Me Stronger. You should be stronger. As you've gone through COVID, you should be stronger. Amen. As you face difficulties in your health, you should be stronger. Amen. As I've gone through, you know, this season, I'm stronger. Amen. In my faith. It used to be stuff that would get me, I'd have a Holy Ghost fit. Not really the Holy Ghost, but you get the picture. stop bothering me and get so irritated. Now it's like, Why? Because I'm stronger. Stuff that used to bother me, stuff that used to freak me out, it doesn't freak me out now. Why? Because I've gone through that. I passed the test of finances. I passed the test with people. And I'm not moved. I'm not going to get depressed because somebody left church. Are you here? Now, we don't want you to leave. We hope you show up and bring your friends and your family. But somehow you pour into people and people disappoint you. Don't allow the circumstances to hold you back. A lot of Christians are circumstances Christians. When things are going well, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When they got a testimony, they're in Connect Group because they want to tell everybody. But when something goes wrong, they don't want to show up. Don't be that kind of person. Don't be a fair-weathered Christian that only sticks with Jesus when everything's going well. Come on, that's called immaturity. I love you, mommy, when you give me everything. But when you tell me no, I hate you. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, those people attend 9 a.m. Come on. Can we be real?
Yeah.
Paul's in Rome, in prison, but he says, I'm a prisoner for Christ. I'm not a prisoner to the Romans. I'm here because of the will of God, because God trusts me. Are you here? Paul's circumstances did not cause him to be discouraged. It didn't cause him to cease in his cause for Christ. But most of the epistles that we read, they're written in the place where he was in prison for the sake of Christ. If you're a true child of God, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. But don't allow your circumstances, yet they be temporary, to determine your focus. A lot of Christians, again, are circumstances Christians. As long as everything's going good, they're okay. But the minute troubles come, they have a crisis of faith. I put this up. Paul did not look at Christ through his circumstances. He looked at his circumstances through Christ. What lens are you looking at things through? Come on. If I looked at the lens of the natural, I'd probably never come to America again. Why? In Singapore, there's no capital gains tax. Income tax is low. Security, all of these things are there. There's many reasons. Are you there? That's why one of the co-founders of Facebook gave up his citizenship and moved to Singapore. Are we in the purpose of God? Are we willing to take a setback to see a setup for God? Are we able to do what doesn't seem right in that the natural mind out of obedience to God? Romans 8 tells us all things work to good together for good for those that serve the Lord. If you love God, do you love God?
Yes.
Come on, things are working for your good. Amen. James 1 tells us, that's why James 1 verse 2, I used to hate this verse because I didn't understand it. It says, brethren, sisterin, count it all joy whenever you fall into various trials. I'm like, I am not feeling happy right now. Come on. But he didn't say count it, be happy. We don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds crazy. Like, you're going to be happy. Oh, I'm so happy that I just lost $1,000. I'm so happy that I lost the business deal and missed out on 40 grand. I'm so happy that that person treated me bad. Is that what he's saying? No, that's stupid. What is he saying? There's joy. Draw on the joy in the midst of those things. You're getting stronger. God is working in your life.
Yes.
Circumstances, we allow them to rob our joy. Number two, big one, people. I got real quiet. All of us at one time or another have lost our joy because of people. Some people, they get so upset that their whole day's ruined because the Starbucks connoisseur messed up their coffee. You went to the restaurant and they messed up your order. You just lost your salvation. I mean, the people, they affect us. What they are, what they say, what they do. And no doubt we ourselves have caused people to lose their joy also. Because we didn't respond correctly. It works both ways. But what am I saying here? We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. But sometimes our light gets a little dim. Come on. Sometimes our salt gets a little bitter. And we got to understand, people will let us down. You're going to get offended with the usher. The song leader might sing the song you didn't like and told you to jump when you didn't feel like jumping. I'm sure going to say something that will mess you up at some time. Stick around. Are you here? That's the life that we live in. But Paul says this in Philippians 2, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, what is he saying? In humility, what is he saying? Humble yourselves. And know you're not perfect and stop projecting that need for perfection on everyone else. We need to get delivered of being OCD. Everything has to be so pretty. I'm not saying don't be clean and be organized. But if everything's not perfect and it makes you upset, you're going to be a very miserable person. You're not going to have joy. Stuff happens. Things get dirty. Are you here? The bird will poop on your car. Are you here? It rains. Stuff happens. But it's not the end of the world. In humility, what is he saying? Value others above yourselves. No matter how small, no matter how big, we value everyone as God's creature. It's God's creation. Not looking out to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So what does he say? All through the Bible, it talks about esteeming others. It talks about loving another. It talks about forgiving one another. It talks about receiving one another. All the one another's that are there. That what? We begin to love and walk in the character of Christ regardless of how people treat us. Your wife will let you down. Your husband will let you down. Your kids will let you down. Your connect group leader will let you down. Your brother will let you down. Your sister will let you down. Your boss will let. That's the world we live in. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. Don't allow people to rob you of your joy. Circumstances rob us of our joy. People rob us of our joy. Number three, things rob us of joy. Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul said this, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. What did he say? The things that I gained as I lost them, I counted it to my benefit. That's a contradiction. He says, yet indeed I also count all things for loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. What is he saying? The things that I've lost, I count it as trash being thrown away compared to what I'm gaining. Why do we get so upset? Why do we lose our joy? Because we put a priority on things rather than a priority on Jesus. I have a nice car, thank God. It gets me here. The air conditioning works great. But the car isn't valuable to me compared to Jesus. I live in a nice house and I've been blessed. And I love my house. We just fixed our yard up and we're enjoying our backyard. But the yard is not my God. Guess what? The crows have started pooping on my new tiles. Guess what? It rained the other day. My cushions got a little dirty. Oh my God. Do we put our hope in things? Are those things the most important? And what? How do we know? We lose our joy because things get taken away. How many know things break down? My oven broke. I haven't had an oven for almost a year because they're back ordered. We just got our oven. Haven't even used it yet. I need to figure out how to run it, you know? But what's our joy in? Is it in those things? It is in the food we eat and what we drive or what we have. Then our focus is on the wrong thing. We're building our house on the sand. Enjoy things, but don't let things become your focus of joy. Are you here? God is a good God and he blesses. But there's a scripture saying the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And some people, you know, take that out of context, like God's taking things away. But no, stuff will break down. You lose stuff. In whatever season you're in, be content. Are you here? He says, I count all things that lost for Christ. Are there things that we sacrifice? Are there things that we give up? Are there things that maybe are getting too much priority in our life? God wants us to let go of those things. Yes, but what is it? So that we might gain Christ. Put our joy in the right thing. A desire for material things will cause us to always struggle with a lack of joy. Abraham Lincoln, I read this story. He had two boys and he was walking down the road and he had three walnuts. There's three of them, two boys, only three walnuts. And his boys started crying. And people asked, why are your boys crying? He said, because they both want two of the walnuts for themselves. They're not satisfied with one. And he made a very wise statement. He said, this is the problem with people. They're never happy with what they have. They're always wanting more. The things of this world will never make us happy. What did Jesus say? Don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy. Come on, this world is spiraling downwards. Don't be depressed because of what's happening in this world. Store up treasures in heaven. And I'm not preaching poverty here. But don't put your focus and your security in those things. Put your treasure where you want your heart to be. Paul says, all the things I've lost, it's like trash to me because of what I've gained from Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 verse 11 says, not that I speak in regard to your need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be contentment. One scripture says, godliness is contentment in all things. It doesn't matter what nation I'm in or what accommodation I have. If the presence of God is there, I am content in the purpose and the will of God. Are you here? We can be in our big house and our mansion and with all of our things and be out of the purpose of God and empty on the inside. Those things will not satisfy. Are you here? Godliness is contentment in all things. Be content with what you have. Don't let your joy be robbed. Don't let the thieves come because of a love for things. Are you learning something? What robs us of our joy? Circumstances. What robs us of our joy? People, if we allow them. Things. And finally, number four, worry. Big one. Worry wears us out. It robs us of our joy. People in this world today, they suffer from anxiety more than anything else. People are so overstressed. There's such pressure in the world to succeed and keep up. You know, the definition of stress, you've heard me say this before. Stress, if you look up in the dictionary, it's this, the inability to handle pressure. But what does it show? It shows our security. When stuff happens and we know that, hey, God's on our team. We know God's the senior partner in our business. We know that God is for us. What can stand against us? You don't get stressed. You might have a moment of a reaction. But what do you come back to? Joy. God's in control. We've had stuff happen. One day we had we had a flood here. Cost us about $12,000 to fix it. We had a pipe blow out and the whole first floor was flooded with feces. Not very exciting on a Thursday night. Stuff happened. Unbudgeted things that happened. But what did he do? In the midst of all these things, God is with us. God's going to provide. God's going to take care of us. Yeah, it's a moment of slapback. Nobody's rejoicing. Oh, I'm so happy. That's not what God's saying, but in the midst, joy is there. In the midst of these things, you know, maybe we need to witness to the contractor. Maybe we need to come together. Maybe God's testing me on how I'm going to react. Am I just going to be happy when things are going well or when crisis happens and there's a trial? I can count it all joy because Jesus is with me. And go through the storm. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But in everything. Someone say everything.
Everything.
What's the key? By prayer and supplication. Coming before God. Knowing if God is with us, if the creator of the universe is with us. What is our circumstance? What is our situation? What is the conflict that we're having in comparison to God that's with us? And it says with this, with thanksgiving. We miss it. Be thankful in every state. Be thankful. Well, I got the flood going on. Well, at least you had a house that got flooded. Some people are living on the street. Got something to be thankful for. Well, I had a flat tire. Well, at least you got a car. Come on, some people are hitchhiking. Be thankful. When things go, be thankful not for the negative, but be thankful for what you have. And then it says, then let your requests be known to God. Put our focus back on God and see it as an opportunity. You know, this week when all the things are happening, it's an opportunity to bond together. It's an opportunity to pray. It's an opportunity to see God. It's an opportunity to just chill out. The stars aren't aligned and things aren't working the way we are. Don't fight it. Just go with the flow and know that God will bring you through. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. What happens when we worry? We worry about the circumstances, but we can't change the circumstances. We worry about people, but you can't change people. Only God can deal with a person's heart. We worry about things because these are the things we can't control. But what do we need to do? Give control to God. Know that God is on our side. And when we do that, yeah, you're affected because we're human. But immediately we go back and say, God, this is on you. You take care of this one. Some people, we pray, and I was talking to someone today, and they're praying. They're so concerned for their relative. I said, just tell them, Holy Ghost, get them. Kind of looked at me. That's what I do. Holy Ghost, get him. He's good at getting people. Come on. Come on. When I can't get through to my wife, I'm like, Holy Ghost. She comes back. This time she couldn't get through to me. Holy Ghost, get him. And I come back. She says, yeah, I prayed God would get to you. Are you here? God has a way. But we say, we try to do it and we try to make everything happen. And what do? We come controlling. Can't change people. Holy Ghost. I love my kids. I have discipline with it, but God's got them, man. I'm not worried. There's a lot of angels assigned to them. Come on. We train them in the Word. We train them in God. We get them in a good environment. And the Holy Ghost, we can't be with them 24/7. I ain't got energy for that. But God is with them. God is there. We can't trust our boyfriend, our girlfriend. We can't trust our spouse. No, God loves us. God's looking out for us. We need to be. I'm even going to go there because we're landing. Get out of the anxiety. What are you burdened with today? What's stealing your joy? Is it circumstances? Is it people? Is it things? Come on, don't let that be a leak in your joy. Put your joy in the salvation you have. Put your joy in the significance that you have in God. Put your joy that I'm secure. It doesn't matter what's going on. Well, I hate the president and this nation's going down. People, but we've had bad presidents before. Whether you like him or not, pray for him. Are you here? But 4 years, we'll be back on track. Come on. It's 4 years. Come on. I was talking to someone in the military, and I was like, how, you know, because we have, you know, we're pro-military, and then now we're not, so we're cutting budget and all that. I said, how does everyone deal? They said, oh, you know, these guys, we're in the military for 30 years, 20 years. He's like, these guys are only around for a few years. Things are going to shift again. Things will come back. Oh, it's the end of America. No, it's not. Come on, look. We came through the 70s. Hello. Some of you remember, you hippie. Come on. You still turned out all right. People, all the whole economy's being terrible. All these hippies, all they want to do is smoke weed and get high and hallucinate, you know, in their boxers on the beach. But look what God did. There was a revival. The Jesus movement came, and we had a major move of God and major revival. Come on, it's time for another move of God. Don't get into the negativity of the down. Oh, the economy. What goes down goes up. You got some money, invest. It's coming back. Oh, the housing market. Oh, go and rent. Don't rent, be an owner. The Bible says don't be a renter, be an owner. Now, I'm not saying, you know, be wise, but don't. Come on, people are still waiting for stuff to drop and the market's up 125%. Are you here? Follow the ways of God. Follow the Holy Spirit. Put our security in Him. I love that song. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Because we build our life upon the rock. Come on, let's all stand on our feet right now. Amen.